So anyway, we're in Luke 15 this morning. Now this is a familiar passage, and the story is old, but it's also living. And I have 7 or 8 or 10 sermons out of just Luke's 15, the prodigal son, because one sermon doesn't cover it, and there are just things hidden. We're going to be preaching about the prodigal son here in a second, but I want you to see something. First of all, chapter 15, verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." He spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it," and you'll notice, "so he found it." Now, go on down, if you will, to verse 8. "Having found the sheep," the shepherd found the sheep. Here you have in verse 8, "either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which it was lost.'" Then you go down to the prodigal son. You find in verse 24, and I'm not going to read at this point all the prodigal son's story. The prodigal son comes home, and his father says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to make merry. And again, down in verse 32, he's talking to his oldest son who never left home. "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Let's bow our heads there and pray. Father, we're grateful for safety and getting the young'uns back, and all of our rest of our folks as well, Amelia as well. We pray for those that are sick, pray for those that are hurting. And Father, I know that John lost a good friend, and Hunter's family is hurting right now. I pray you might bring them yet more light as the week progresses here. And we just pray that you'd bless this sermon in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Luke 15 is that place if we're going to read the prodigal son. If you can't find yourself in the prodigal son, you're in pretty bad shape. And if you think that you're the fatted calf, that's not a really good thing. But the prodigal son is that passage, and it's critical to all of us because, first of all, the prodigal son was lost and is found. Being lost, using that terminology down in verse 32, then the prodigal son represents a lost guy that comes back to the father and gets saved. On the other hand, the prodigal son is also the type of a Christian because, after all, he was his father's son when he left home and his father's son when he came back home. And the father in the passage is a type of God the Father. So it serves as both a type of somebody lost who gets saved, found. It's also the type of somebody like me that wandered away and got found again. And so there's a couple of themes that goes through this passage, and we started back in verse 2. Joy is something that's all through the passage. Maybe it was spurred by the fact that the Pharisees in verse 2 and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And so they're murmuring. And so Christ goes into this thing where, having 100 sheep, if the shepherd lose one of them, he goes into the far country, he leaves the 99 and goes out into the wilderness to find the lost sheep till he find it. Verse 5. "When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep that was lost.'" So one of the themes is rejoicing. The woman that lost the coin, she tears the house apart until she find it. And then she calls and has the rest of the house, the servants and all, rejoice with her for having found it. The father is clearly joyful. In verse 23, when the prodigal son comes home, he says, "Let us eat and be merry." Verse 24, "And they began to be merry." And so they're joyful. One of the themes is joy. You need to have some joy about being found. You have been found, haven't you? And you should have some joy about somebody else being found. I don't want to revel in what happened to Travis's family, but I can joy in the fact that Travis is now saved. It's a blessing. Now, the second part of this is the finding. Again, the great theme of the passage, he leaves the 99 sheep to go find the one. And she tears the house apart until she finds the one coin that is lost. The father couldn't rest. The servants couldn't rest until the prodigal son. The Bible says twice, down in verse 24 and in verse 32, that prodigal son was found. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, because the prodigal son is said to have been found twice. Verse 24, he was lost and is found. Verse 32, he was lost and is found. And the interesting thing about that is there is no mention of the father or the brother or the mother or anybody in the household going and combing the countryside to try to find the prodigal son. There apparently were no letters written. There are none that are mentioned. Apparently nobody was scanning through Facebook, X, or whatever it was to see if he was online. They didn't find him that way. And I find that interesting. The shepherd ransacked the wilderness till he found the sheep that was lost. The woman tore her house apart until she found the coin that was lost. But you get down to the prodigal son part of the passage, and apparently the prodigal son was the only one that ever left the house. And yet it said that he was lost and now he's found. Now, so I'm preaching this morning on finding the prodigal son. This is not a massive search and rescue effort in this passage. I'm not denigrating the father's desires, heartbrokenness, yearnings, or anything like that, because plainly he was all those things. It's not to undermine any effort that we would make to go and find a prodigal. By all means, go and find the lost. By all means, go and find somebody that's astray. Do all you can, right? I'm not advocating some sort of a hyper-Calvinistic position of just being a lazy boy and waiting for them to come to God on their own. I'm not advocating that at all, but this is to magnify the fact that the father prayed and his prayers were answered. The father understood that there was a patience issue that had to be fulfilled here. And it's plain here that the father may have had more wisdom than any of us about the course that had to be taken before the prodigal son would eventually come home. It's to elevate the fact that the father seemed to have an understanding about how the prodigal son would come home. It's also to point out that there is a God in heaven that deals with prodigals. And lastly, mainly, it's to point out the fact that the prodigal son does have a responsibility. Whether he's a lost prodigal or a saved prodigal, that prodigal has a responsibility to come home. It's not just hearing. Chapter 15, verse 1. All the publicans and sinners and Pharisees were there hearing. It's not just somebody coming to church and hearing. I believe you should come to church and I believe you should hear, but it's not just the hearing. You can hear and not be found. Because there's a bunch of people here that heard and were not found. The Pharisees were not found. Right? So, I just wanted to make sure that you saw that. It's also not being home and dutiful. The elder brother stayed home and stayed faithful in what he was supposed to be doing, and yet he was probably almost as prodigal spiritually as the prodigal son was. So the prodigal son, it says twice, once in verse 24, once in verse 32, that he was lost and is found. So again, as a type of somebody lost, he was dead in trespasses and sins. He's alive again from verse 24. He's not lost anymore. He's found. And by the way, he's safe and sound. Verse 27. At the end of the verse. Because he hath received him safe and sound. That's somebody that's saved, walking with the Lord. Right? I was telling you this morning in Sunday school, I got saved young, strayed young, and came back a little bit later in life. And finally, I was safe and sound, and I was found. Okay? But as for this finding, there's two keys here that I want to emphasize here this morning. Notice in verse 26, the brother comes in and sees them making merry because the prodigal son has been found. He's come home. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. But the brother's come. Your brother's come home. Down in verse 30. The older brother goes to his father and he says this. And as soon as this thy son, the prodigal son, was come. So again, it emphasizes the fact that the prodigal son came home. It also says the prodigal son was found. And I just want to emphasize the fact here today that, you know, Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Right? That can apply to somebody lost. That can apply to somebody saved. He says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Right? He says, but you will not come unto me that you might have life. Okay? Now the prodigal son was lost and found, but nobody left home to find him. The father stayed home. As far as we can see, the brother stayed home. As far as we can see, we don't even see the mother. As far as we can see, the servant stayed home. The prodigal son came home. And that's how he was found. So let me emphasize his coming. Because it turns out that coming is a very important matter for both lost people and saved people. Can I say, first of all, the prodigal son was found because he came, first of all, of his own volition. In chapter 15, verse 18, it says, I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He came of his own volition, and his father acknowledges it. Verse 27, thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf. Again in verse 30, the brother acknowledges it as soon as thy son was come. So the prodigal son was found by coming home. He came home of his own volition. He was found, but he was not searched for. He was not hassled. He was not tackled. He was not hogtied. He was not dragged. He was not carried back home. He made up his own mind of his own volition to come home. And you know what, folks? Somebody that's unsaved has to make up their own mind. We are to pursue. We are to plead. We are to pray. We are to witness. We are to repeat it again and again. But in the end, they have to come of their own volition. Somebody even this morning, like I said, you can come and hear and still not be found. Somebody that comes, how many times do people come and hear for a long time, and yet you'd have to say they're not really found because they're not really right? Every one of us here that attempts to walk the Christian life has to come of our own volition. He was found because he came. And he came of his own volition. He was convicted by the Holy Spirit. He was pursued by the Holy Spirit. He was judged by the Holy Spirit. Reproved, broken in his sin. There's no question the Holy Spirit had his role in dealing with this boy. But it was his will, it was his volition, it was his decision to go home. And more properly, to come home. And the prodigal has decisions to make. And it's the prodigal's decision. If he's lost, he has to make up his mind he doesn't want to be lost anymore. For the umpteenth time now, don't misunderstand to say that I'm just let him go. Just wait till the... No, you got to go after him. You got to go find him. I am pointing out to you in this case, the prodigal son was not pursued all over the countryside by his father, his brother, or the servants. The father was wise enough, as God is, to sometimes give somebody space, knowing they have to decide for themselves, not without the work of the Holy Spirit, but they have to decide for themselves to come back to Jesus Christ. It has to be, you have to come of your own volition. No one else can make that decision for him. Nobody can. A young child can be influenced, say, a young child, and moved by the motive of simply wanting to please his devoted Christian parents. And I've had a couple of conversations with a couple of folks that are even here this morning about young kids getting saved, and I'm all for somebody getting saved when they get saved at 5 or 6 years old. No problem. But it is careful ground you have to tread, because sometimes they can just be trying to please you. And you have to walk that ground carefully, because they have to come of their own volition because they want to. You have to be careful, because sometimes your best friend, that soul that you have so much of a burden for, you have so much of a burden for them that you can at times make it too easy. And if only you will just pray this prayer. Well, that prayer doesn't save anybody. Believing is what saves, right? And I just remember a time when I was a young Christian. I just gotten right with the Lord, so I just started knocking doors and going and trying to win souls. And so I went with my partner. My partner, thank the Lord, was a little older, wiser than me. And there was this guy we were dealing with in his living room, and you know, the guy was just being stubborn, just kind of argumentative. And I wanted him to get saved so bad, because it would have been the first one that I ever led to Christ. And so I'm like, come on, man, would you just pray the prayer? And I could tell by the way my partner looked at me that I had said the wrong thing. Because he had more sense than I had at the time. Because he knew that you don't just get somebody to yield to your wishes and pray the prayer and then count it a win. No, they have to come of their own volition. And the prodigal son came of his own volition. Some can come out of disgrace and failure and humiliation and realize that his mama loved him for so, you know, so faithfully that for mama, he'll come home. You can't come home for mama. You got to come home for you. If you want to be found, you need to be found for your sake, not mama's sake. You can't even be found just for your wife's sake or for your kid's sake. You need to come and be found for your sake. You need to get right with God for your sake. The prodigal son was found, but he was found because he came. And he came not because somebody paid him, not because somebody begged him, not because somebody hogtied him and dragged him. He came because he wanted to. It was time. So, folks, there's a certain ground that we have to honor. I'm not on anybody here this morning because you haven't honored it. I'm just saying that there's a place where the Father's role should be considered, because the Father was patient. And God has never yet twisted your arm behind your back and said, you better believe or I'm going to break this arm. He's never done it. He's waited for you to come of your own volition. Coming is very important, but it has to be of your own volition. Around about, as I said this morning in Sunday school, saved at 10, effectively, the prodigal son lost again. I don't mean spiritually lost. I mean lost in the world. You know, 10 years later, 12 years later, I come back. About 1982 or 3, I really wanted to be found again because I'd made a mess of everything. And I was willing to come back to the Father on His terms, but it was my decision. I don't remember, in fact, I had nobody around me that tried to encourage me to come back. I was so miserable, I came of my own volition. So a prodigal son is lost and found, and if you're going to find the prodigal son, the first thing you should just make sure of is that they still have the latitude to come of their own volition. Because you begging, nagging, and dragging doesn't necessarily make it right. And I'm not suggesting that you cease to implore, cease to pray, cease to witness, cease to fast, cease to yearn for them. I'm simply saying you got to know when you've gone far enough. Right? That goes with your 5 and 6 year old kids too. Right? Because they have to come to Jesus Christ because they want to. I want to say secondly, and this is not in the passage as such, I want to say he came of his own volition. He was found because he came of his own volition. He was found because he came to repentance. Now, it doesn't say that the prodigal son repented. But the Bible says that Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Is that right? You also have chapter 15, verse 7. After the story of the woman, or the shepherd seeking the sheep was told, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which have no need of repentance. I know that's lost people. Do you know any saved people that need to come to repentance? I certainly have tread that ground many times, right? Notice down in verse 10, the woman trying to find the coin lost in the house. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. It may not say the prodigal son repented, but if he didn't repent, what would you call it? Because I find down in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That prodigal son dealt with his sin. He knew he had sinned. I just want to say, a sinner is not found until he deals with his sins. I should say further in verse 19, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. He renounced his worth. Now, this is the kid that left saying, I want mine. Now he's ready to come back saying, I just want to come home and I don't deserve anything. He effectively renounced his worth. It's not exactly the message that comes across out of mainstream megachurches. I mean, you're told to think highly of yourself. But the prodigal son was found because he came home. He came home of his own volition, and he came home in repentance. From sin, he renounced his worth, and by the way, in verse 19, make me as one of thy hired servants, willing to accept all the consequences. Okay? See, the Pharisees sat and heard Jesus Christ speak on multiple occasions. And a whole bunch of them were never found because they never came of their own volition. And because they never came in repentance. They remained lost. They remained backslidden. They remained bound. They remained lost. There's a great chasm between the prodigal's repentance and today's repentance. Let me take you to a couple of passages, if you wouldn't mind, real quick. look in Matthew 21, if you would. Matthew 21. The prodigal son was found because he came, says the brother and says the servants. And he came of his own volition. And he came in repentance. 21, if you will, Matthew 21, go down to verse 32 and notice an interesting thing about repentance. And we could do a whole thing on repentance. We're not going to do that. But notice Jesus is saying in John, talking about John the Baptist, came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the talking about the Pharisees, but the publicans, the lowlifes, and the harlots, the wicked women, believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. I just want you to be able to see there that there has to be an element of repentance and even believing. You know what it boils down to? It boils down to you having to say, you were right, and I was wrong. To God. Look, if you will, another passage, Acts 20. Acts chapter 20, and down in verse 21. Where Paul is testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a lot that's been erected around repentance, a lot of false ideas. If I could just tell you and bluntly, repentance is a change of mind and heart. And you'll have to have a change of mind and heart before you can even believe the gospel. You'll have to have a change of mind and heart before you can come home to the Father as a formerly backslidden Christian. Because there comes a point where you have to say, you were right and I was wrong. Okay? I want to say the prodigal son was found because he came in repentance. Folks, sin is always our problem. It can be hidden behind this screen of abuse, misuse by others, of having been not brought up right, having had not all the chances everybody else had, and all these excuses. You just need to understand that if sin is the problem, then it's sin that's the problem. And sin is always our problem. The prodigal son is not found until he deals with his sin, whether he's lost or whether he's saved. Does that make sense? Because he said, this my son was lost and is found twice. Well, he's found not because they searched the country for him. He's found because he came. And he came of his own volition. And he came in repentance. Notice another thing down in chapter 15, verse 17 of Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, 17. You'll notice in verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And then the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Okay? Did you notice that before he was found, he had to come home? Okay? He came of his own volition. He came in repentance. And before he had to do that, before he did that, he had to come to himself. If the key here, the key in the passage is coming. To be found, you're going to have to come back to God or come to God for the first time. It's going to be of your own volition. It's going to be in repentance. And you're going to have to, and in this case, the prodigal son had to first come to himself. Now, that's always been an intriguing bit of phraseology in my mind. And it speaks of something that is not pleasant always to think about. And the fact is, there's a certain madness in sins. There's a certain madness in the mindset of the world. There's a certain madness in the mindset of lost people. Surely, you can look around a little bit and see that. Surely, you've had conversations enough with people on a spiritual plane, even on a daily reasoning plane, political plane, whatever. The Olympics, the opening ceremonies, I didn't see it, didn't watch it, but it's all over the news. Really? You jam that down the throat of the entire world. Somebody's nuts. He had to come to himself. There's a certain madness in being backslidden because it doesn't make sense when you think of how good the Father's been to you. There's a certain madness in rotten decisions. When you become proud, when you decide you want something more than you want anything else, when you have a dream, you can be obsessively over-focused and crazy about that thing. When you love money, if you're not careful, money dictates everything to you. When you're proud, if you're not careful, your pride will dictate everything to you. If you're beautiful, if you're not careful, your beauty will shade every other thing in your life. I'm saying he had to first come to himself. When you hear the phrase, when he came to, what do you usually think? Well, the guy was out before that, right? He was out of it. Whether he was knocked out or just out of his mind, out of it. But when he came to, then there was this that happened. Okay? The prodigal son had to come to himself. Maybe he came to himself and put himself up against the wall. Now, a Christian is two entities. He's the new man and the old man. If you've been in this fight for very long, there comes a time when the new man has to put the old man up against the wall and say, look, you're being an idiot. Have you ever been there? The prodigal son, first of all, had to come to himself. This is crazy. You are an idiot. You have thrown everything away. And you are now living with the pigs. And in fact, you would eat something a pig wouldn't eat. There is something wrong with you, dude. And the dude is me. Right? Okay, he had to come to himself. It's not hard to find lost people that are a little out of their minds, deceived in sin. It should not be a surprise that our world is literally coming apart right now because it's run by lost people who are now generation after generation after generation deep in nothing but darkness and ignorance and deadness spiritually. Does that make sense? There are saved prodigals that have gone off the deep end, and you have to ask, what are you thinking? They're preoccupied with money, with every other thing that you can name that can lead you off and astray. The prodigal son, as a lost man, the prodigal son, as a saved man, was found. But he was found in the passage twice because he came. The coin was found because the woman tore her house apart till she found it. The one sheep that was lost was found because the shepherd left the 99 in the wilderness and went and ransacked the wilderness till he found his sheep that was lost. But the prodigal son's different. The father didn't go look. The mother didn't go look. The servants didn't go look. And the brother just didn't go look. They had to wait till he came home. He was found because he came. And he had to come of his own volition. Not that the Holy Spirit wasn't working on him. He had to come in repentance. Before he got to that, he had to come to himself. I just ask you to just do a little self-evaluation. Is there anything that you do that's a little bit crazy? I mean, when it gets down to it, you know, the sin that you keep returning to, the Lord keeps dealing with you about, you know, the Bible says that sin is deceitful. So you just keep going back to the same thing time and again and again and again and again, scores of times. And it just keeps deceiving you again and again and again and again. Now, they tell us in the world, philosophically, that if you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again that doesn't work, then there's something that's true. You're a little crazy. Okay, well, doesn't it mean something that sin beckons and you keep going for the lure the same way, in the same place, same time, every time, and nothing changes? That's because in sin, we're all a little bit mad. And you have to come to yourself. You got to realize, you know what? This is a little nuts. I need to quit this. Right? The prodigal son was found because he came. In order to come home, he had to come to himself first. And then there's one last thing I'd point out to you down in verse 20. And he arose, and notice, and came to his father. Okay. He was found because he came. Nobody went and hogtied him and drug him. He had to come of his own volition. He came in repentance. He came to himself. And he came to his father. He didn't come home to his mommy. The mommy is not mentioned. Is that right? He didn't come home to his best buddy, who would forgive him for anything every time and excuse him. Right? He didn't come home to his grandpappy or to his baby sister. He came home to his father. He came home to the man he had shamed and humiliated. He came home to the man whose goods he had wasted. He came home to the man whose love he had despised, whose advice he had despised, whose wisdom he had despised, whose all the things a father had ever prepared for him, he turned his back, spat on it, and walked away. He came home to he whose counsel he had rejected, whose laws and rules he had broken, and whose name he had blackened. He came home to his father. His father was the judge. His father was the authority there. He didn't come home to his mommy. And his brother was not the first one he talked to, and certainly not his baby sister, and not the servants. He came home to the father. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to be hard this morning at all, but I'm acknowledging the fact that all of us can sit here, and while I imagine most everybody in this room today is saved, and I'm certainly glad for that. But the prodigal son was still the son of his father when he was in the world, right? And he was found because he came. And so there's another character in this passage that actually was almost as prodigal as the prodigal. In a responsible sort of way. That was the older brother. His heart was as alienated from his father as the prodigal's heart was. Really, the son that stayed home needed to be found as much as the prodigal son needed to be found. I'm saying that the prodigal son was found because he came. And the prodigal is not found until he faces his father. We, in closing, bust a gut to make this place as safe a place as we can make it. I mean, I want it to be a secure island in a world of madness, right? But you can be here and not be safe, and not be sound, and not be found, because you haven't come under those circumstances, those four things. The prodigal son was found because he came of his own volition. You were probably, if you grew up in this church, you were probably dragged here at times as a kid. Okay? Well, I drug mine here, and my parents drug me where they drug me too. But there comes a point where you got to own it for yourself. And it comes a point where you have to come of your own volition or you're not found. Right? You got to come. You know, your parents made you come, and you knew you would get a whooping if you stepped too far out of line. You do know that the Lord will give you a whooping if you step too far out of line too, right? So before you can be found, you have to come to Him in repentance. Truth is, everybody here has seen somebody that sat in church pews for a long time, and with the right clothes on and the right expression on their face, and you've been grossly disappointed when one day they weren't there and you found out what they'd been into. Now, somebody sat there and they were not found. They decided to make a crazy decision that they'd been warned about not making and going off somewhere and doing something crazy. Okay, in order to be found, you have to come to yourself. He was a little bit nuts doing what he did. Here he is living with pigs, desiring to eat the nonsense that some of them ate, right? Okay, you got to do better than that. It's a little crazy for you to desire everything in the world. And you can't be found until you come to yourself. And, you know, I don't know how long it's been since some came to an altar and said, "Father, I have been away for a long time. I've been here, but I've been away. And it's been a long time since I was down here with the right attitude." I'm not just making a call for an altar call. I'm saying you can be here and not be safe and not be sound and not be found because you didn't come under those circumstances. If there's somebody here that's lost this morning, I hope that you will strongly consider receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Our youth have just gotten back from camp and had a great week and all those things. Some of them went to a place and they probably feel like they got found in a way that they hadn't been for a while. I bet there's somebody else sitting here like that this morning. You know, I remember how sweet it was to be found. My world, even as a Christian in those days, in my backslidden days, was very dark and dissatisfying, and I had really no hope. I didn't know where things were heading and didn't have anybody to build me up. Boy, it sure was good to finally be found. But I was found because I got up one morning on a Sunday morning miserable and went to a church that I'd never been to before in my life and stumbled into a Sunday school class where my entire life changed. Amen. And you can grow up in this church and still be sitting there needing to have your whole life changed. Maybe again, maybe not for the first time, but again. Most of us have to have a renewal again and again and again. Is that where you sit this morning? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I pray this morning, Father, that you'll